Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to CenterPoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. In this show, we will discuss ways that we can journey to our own centers. This can help us access our inner resources to improve our physical abilities and health, our mental strength, our emotional well-being, and our spirituality. And today I'm very happy to welcome our special guest, Steve Hogard. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Ron. How are you?
I am doing terrific. I'm so excited to interview you because you are a very interesting man, as our audience will soon hear. But let me tell them a little bit about you. So you were born in Massachusetts and moved with your family to San Juan Capistrano, where you spent your childhood years in the 60s and the early 70s. And your teen years were spent in Carmel and the Monterey Peninsula until you loaded up your Volkswagen bus and came down to San Diego State to finish college in 1982. After graduation, Steve stayed on in San Diego. He worked in insurance sales for a time before moving into finance and the mortgage industry. And he's worked mainly independently as a mortgage broker for the past 35 years. And I hope to spend some time talking with you about what it's like to be a mortgage broker and the psychology of home buying and selling. So Steve's married. He has three amazing adult kids, and he's a man of faith in God. He's passionate about surfing, being outdoors and in the ocean, but he also enjoys woodworking and time spent playing his ukulele. He also loves having one classic car or another to tool around in, but not to work on. Steve's a learner and a student of all sorts of things and truly wants to grow in the areas he takes interest in. His goals are living a well-balanced, healthy, and peaceful life and using the lessons and experiences he has been given to help others find that same kind of peace and balance. And that's what this show is about. I'm hoping you'll share some of your experiences, and this can help our listening audience. So, again, welcome, Steve.
Oh, that's awesome. Great.
So maybe we can start at the beginning. I would love to hear how you went from your teen years in college into the first phase of your career. A lot of our listening audience are young adults, and they're trying to figure themselves out. So share what you did.
Well, I think I was fortunate in life that I recognized when I started working in different jobs that I had mentors or people, like, you know, people along my path to guide. And maybe I didn't acknowledge it as much at the time, but I seemed to always gravitate towards these jobs that were public, some kind of public service jobs. And then I always had managers or some person around that I latched onto that was really good with the public and really good at solving problems, and that I just would kind of glean and learn from. And as I look back, I just kind of followed those breadcrumbs. You know, I didn't have parents that directed me in a path or a career. You have to do this. You should do that. I was, you know, I'd left home a little earlier than some, and so I kind of bumbled my way about. But I remember in junior college, I think I've shared the story with you, I was working at the Doubletree Inn in Monterey, a brand new hotel that had gone up, and I was a bellman there, and I was, you know, interacting with the public. I was the youngest bellman on staff, but I had a lot of enthusiasm. I'd done a bellman job before, and there, this place was happening and buzzing, and I had a manager that was just older and really excited, you know, for his team, and he was always encouraging me, like, to look up and out, look up and out. And then after working there for some time, he said, "Hey, when are you going to move out of here and go to college or go to a big town?" And I just thought it was the strangest thing. And as I shared with you before, this man Richard worked on me for, you know, quite some time. I want to say 6 months or 8 months, and kind of planted the seed about don't be afraid to, like, shift it up a little bit, you know, because at the time I would think I was going to junior college, I was working a great job, making a really good money, and I was wrenching on cars. I was working part-time at a European auto mechanic so I could work on, I think, a Volkswagen I was restoring at the time. And the long and the short was, you know, at the end of the summer in 82, he had kind of bribed me with money, cash, and prizes to quit my Bell job early and head off to San Diego to college and to go get enrolled and get going on school and go try something new and expand my horizons. And I came, that's how I got to San Diego. I showed up in September late, school had already started, and man, I didn't know a soul down here, but like when I waited in student services line that first day, and then after maybe an hour and a half, I met my first student advisor, Susan Shore, and then she was just super enthusiastic, like, hey, yeah, you can enroll and you can follow your, I think I had an industrial arts major, you know, kind of a shop kid type major on the books, and she goes, just get on in and start getting classes and see where it goes. And so that's kind of how I bumbled along, and after a few years, I ended up switching to business and getting a business degree, and you know, I still loved working with my hands and doing art and all those kind of crafts and things, but you know, I really didn't know what I was going to become or what I was going to do. I knew, you know, but I just kept taking steps forward, and it's kind of amazing how these doors just open up to you.
How did you find the inner strength to step out of your comfort zone?
Well, I think part of it was the disciplines, the routines that I had set up when I was younger, and I call them kind of like health routines. Like, I, for some reason, I latched on maybe after high school that it was always, you know, I was an early riser kid, and I would always get up in the morning and do stretches or exercises and want to get outdoors and get, you know, get the early sunlight on my body. And that to me was kind of motivation enough. It was almost kind of like a, you know, nowadays on our computer, you know, we hit the reset button or the power button, we just power it down and power it back up. And everything seems to do better, right, when you turn it off and turn it back on again. And I developed that habit young, and I kept doing it no matter what. And even in the seasons when things weren't going my way or tough times would happen, I still had this practice of kind of getting up early, taking, you know, some amount of quiet time to myself. And sometimes I'd be reading, back in the days I would listen to cassette tapes, like, I think one of my managers at one of my jobs had introduced me to like motivational cassette tapes back in the day. And I used to just pop in one of those and get little doses of positivity. You know, I'm more wired on the positive side than the negative, but that would like supercharge me. And even when I didn't feel like getting out of bed, I would still get up, get going, get my body moving. And I've carried that practice, I mean, since my teenage years, through my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, my 50s, and now into my early 60s. And it's really, really produced good fruit for me.
That is so interesting. I'm filling out a survey these days. I'm doing my book tour for my new book, The Life Guide for Teens, a little plug in there. And the question was asked, what are the three personal characteristics that you think helped you in your life? And the first one I said is perseverance. And you just described that, perseverance. And, you know, if you don't have that, you can be the most talented guy in the world and go nowhere. And if you have that, you can go far no matter what, which is what you're saying.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, some of us are not wired with perseverance, and I get that. And I've even had seasons in my life where I think I lost it, you know, and I can't find it. But I used to tell myself, act as if, you know what I mean? Like, act as if you have it. Act as if the day is going to turn out right. Act as if you're well and you're not hurting in your hip, your hamstring, your head, or whatever it is. And just, you know, you acknowledge the struggles or the challenges or the uphillness of the part of the path you're on, but act as if you're going to get to the end. You just maybe need to adjust your pace a little bit, or you need to adjust your gait, or, you know, maybe you need to suck it up, buttercup, you know, and press on harder for a little bit just to shake things up. But Yeah, I really think that's one of those key characteristics that if we don't have it given to us in spades, we can develop it. It's a muscle. We can grow it.
It's part of self-discipline.
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah, a near cousin for sure.
Yeah. So, and what sparked your interest in business? Because you did go in that direction early on.
You know, when I remember when I was graduating from San Diego State and they were doing all the interviews, you know, like the on-campus interviews, and I think, you know, I'm a fifth and a half year, coming up on a six-year senior, you know, in college, and I'm just trying to get out and get my degree, and by this time I'd switched to business administration finance. And I was interested in business, but I had no idea what I wanted to do, except that I thought I would do some form of sales. But inside, like, I knew I wasn't, you know, I wasn't, for some reason, I had doubts about my material. Like, I wasn't a great student. You know, I was a C, B student. I hadn't been recruited by anybody, you know, in this college of, you know, 20-some thousand students. And, but I knew I would get out and maybe just start interviewing. And I knew I wasn't like a stockbroker guy. And I remember going to the, like, some of the recruiting interview thing that they had going on at State, and I walked down the line just to see these different companies that had finance departments where they would take finance majors, and I thought, I just wasn't sure. But I knew that in business I could work with my hands and my mouth and my brain, you know, and then figure out to apply something. And so I at the time I was working for a catering company as a part of a really elite staff catering high-end parties for the Carriage Trade, a big restaurant down in San Diego. And the parties that we did were very expensive business gatherings. They were really successful business people. And the minimum party was like $250,000 at the time. And you know, I was a crew, and I would go to these parties and see these people. And I thought, like, you know, I just kind of transferred it, like, wow, if you work in business and you're successful, you too can throw, you know, $250,000 parties. And so, I just thought, like, well, that will be an area. And everything, when you really look at it, whatever you do, it's some form of business, right? And it's some form of serving other human beings, and then you're getting compensated for it. And whether, you're a doctor or you're a bellman, or in my case, you know, a bartender, food server, in a catering company, or, you know, a financial analyst, you're performing a task and then you're getting paid for it and you're growing and helping others. And so it was just interesting. After some time, I ended up meeting some friends that were surfing that happened to be in financial planning. And I was just curious. So this is, I guess, the part is I was just really curious about that. So I would go out and meet people and go out and have lunch with them and ask about their job and ask what they did. And a couple of guys that I'd surfed with that were older than me were in financial planning insurance sales. And when I went out with them, I was like, wow, you know, they seem to have a successful life and the balance that they like to be outdoors and surf. And they were doing well. They'd been in their careers for a number of years. And so, you know, I asked to go meet their boss and go for an interview. And that's kind of how I literally wandered into the insurance sales business by accident.
And again, it strikes me, I've interviewed a lot of people and how they find the careers to sort of walk into the career. It's just like, by seemingly accident. Do you think, you said you're a man of faith. Is this, were you guided, you think, or just was truly accidental?
Like at the time, I'd had a faith in God. I was raised as a Catholic kid in the 60s and 70s, but I wasn't active in the church and I wasn't part of a group or anything like that. But I'd always believed as a kid there was a higher power, or higher spirit, you know, guiding my life and guiding the spinning of the world, and it wasn't me, right? And so I just knew that things would always work out, right? If I just took positive action and then, you know, like I always, you know, I'd worked so many different restaurant and hotel jobs, and I'd always had it kind of drilled into me, like, how can you always be part of the solution? How can you help make people's lives better, you know, with whatever your job was, right, whether it was washing dishes or carrying suitcases? And I think these things open up. And in that season of my life, I I really wasn't bent on I had to make X dollars or I had to get this job that would have this prestige. I was just looking kind of to try to better my step and trying to press back the fear of trying something new or trying something different. And believe me, insurance and financial services was pretty intimidating thinking about going into that. But I followed the breadcrumbs into it. It was neat. Like, I ended up getting in an organization where the owner, you know, had been doing it for 40 years. We had an extensive training program for sales training. Kind of forward vision minded training. And I started getting trained by some really, really great people. And they were living really good lives. And it seemed very, very attractive. And they were making gobs of money, you know, doing it. But they all loved what they did. And like, man, what luck, or what, you know, maybe I manifested it, I don't know, but, you know, I just went into it, I ended up sticking with that career for almost 3 years, and it was a lot of hard work, but it really taught me so much. You can learn so much from the others around you if you just pay attention.
You know, you should write a book about your life, because you're giving a lot of life guidance here. You're talking about going with the flow and keeping a positive attitude, and things work out, and you know, your life demonstrates that. Can you share a little bit with us about what it was like to be an insurance salesman and how you use psychology with that, and what was that all about?
Well, mind you, I was in my, mid-20s at the time. I felt pretty young and inadequate, you know, because I'd done service work, right? Hotel, motel, restaurant type work. Which is great. I think that's great groundwork training for any kind of business. You learn to think on your feet and interact with others. But in the insurance world, it was neat, because at this agency, they had me read a book by John T. Malloy called Dress for Success. That was the first book that us new hires in this batch. I think there was like five or six of us. And this is the book all about the psychology of dress and about dressing to be successful, presenting yourself as already successful. And then we had some, you know, a little bit of mind training that went along with that. That was all positive, you know, positive mental attitude type sales training, and it kind of coincided with the act as if, right? You just act as if, you know, you already know what you're doing. It was very structured, and we had to learn sales scripts and, you know, a pitch, and you had to stick to the pitch, and you practiced, and then they actually lined up, you know, they had me calling the lineup appointments. They even had callers lining up appointments for me. And then I had to go out and remember my script and go out and go through it. But boy, because of the training and the dressing for success, I have to say that got me out of the gate so confident, because I was dressed very, very well, you know, very respectable, very presentable, very successful. I was already acting as if, even though I didn't drive a fancy car or whatever. I think at the time I had a 72 Nova. You know, I used to park it around the corner because it wasn't a fancy car, but it was just my dependable ride. But I'd go up to these appointments wearing a, you know, several hundred dollar suit and a really nice tie and a nice leather binder, and I would just go do the work. I did what I was trained, and it was a numbers game. And they taught me, like, hey, not everybody's going to say yes. And, you know, we used to say no doesn't mean no. No means not now. And I just learned to go do the process. And, yeah, I went through a lot of bumps and bruises, but I started, you know, you started getting bullseyes. You started getting wins. And I trusted the process. You know, I trusted the training. I didn't, you know, and I didn't have that many days that I doubted myself. There were days I didn't like myself and didn't feel like doing the work, but, you know, maybe those days I'd let the gas off the pedal a little bit, and then I'd come back another day, you know, when my attitude was adjusted properly, and I'd lean in and go do it. And then I didn't do it out of fear. And if I had questions or insecurities, I'd ask somebody, you know, one of the mentors or one of the guys above me or near me, you know, hey, how do you handle this or how do you handle that? I wasn't afraid to ask for help or ask for how do you tackle it, because you learn so much from others, you know. Like, there's so much collective experience in this universe. If we were just to all throw ourselves in the lifeboat and start sharing, right, we would learn so much from one another.
Again, a very important life lesson there. Some people think that if they ask somebody for help, it's a sign of weakness. It's opposite, right?
Well, I think so. I was raised that way. You know, I had a very strong taskmaster German mother, and she would give instructions and then tell me to figure it out and solve it myself. So, you know, dichotomy, right? And then I realized, like, and we, you know, we weren't allowed to complain and we weren't allowed to fail. Really, we weren't giving a lot of grace or room to fail. And it was a very different upbringing, but for some reason, between the, you know, the universe, my higher power, and the world, how it dished to me, I quickly learned to swipe and adapt. And I presented a strong front, but I also had a soft heart, and I was soft. Like, I was willing to be pliable and learning. And I saw that really successful people did that. And I picked up on that really quickly, and thank goodness I did, you know. And I'm still wired like that kid raised by a stern German mother, right? You know, that I want to do it myself. I want to know it all. I want to master everything before, you know. But I fight that, and I've been doing it every decade. I still say, okay, well, where can I learn here? Who can I ask that knows more? And not be afraid to do that.
Right. Well, working through a problem on your own is good. I mean, that's your mom taught you that, but you know, you need to know when you could use some help. But, you know, reinventing the wheel each time delays quite a bit. So you want a combination of what your mom taught you and what the world taught you.
Absolutely.
Well, when we come back, I want to hear how you switched. Why did you decide to leave that insurance business where you could drive a fancy car and wear fancy suits and make lots of money? This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
Coming attraction, life guide for teens harnessing your inner power to be healthy, happy, and confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Anbar to be published early 2025. Dr. Anbar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Anbar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at CenterpointMedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Centerpoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. Special guest, Steve Hogard, who is sharing his life story with us. What great lessons you're teaching us, Steve. We left off, you were doing insurance sales, you're very successful, but then you decided to leave. What happened?
That was a real interesting shift. I had been doing the insurance sales for a couple of years plus, coming into 3 years around the sun on that one. And I had decided to go on a ski trip to Colorado, and I went and met my sister to go skiing. And I hadn't been on a good 5-day ski trip the whole time while I had been working in the insurance field. And she and I were going up the lift one day and having a talk, and she asked me about my job and how, she asked me how I liked it and how it was going, and everything was great, and she's a photographer, artist, kind of a hippie girl, but I just remember we were having this long conversation. I go, everything's going great, and then somewhere in the conversation she goes, do you like what you do? And I said, yeah, I think so. I said, the money's really, really good. And she goes, that's what you all say, the money's really, really good. She goes, but do you love what you do? And I said, and I kind of hemmed and hawed. I go, it's okay. It's a good job. It's a good job, and I'm learning lots. And she kind of, in her cute little artist way, she says, well, I'd never do anything if I didn't love it. She goes, that would be selling out. And it just kind of messed with my brain. And it was interesting. We ended up skiing, for a bunch of days together. We didn't have any super deep philosophical questions, but I did kind of come back. And here's one of those things that goes with the flow. You have a conversation with somebody, it gets you thinking about your work and your stuff. And I went back to my work and I started setting appointments, and then I kind of got out of myself and looked down at what I was doing. And yes, I was quite successful. I was meeting numbers. I was growing. I was doing the script, making sales. I was making more money than I ever could imagine, as a kid at that age. I had just recently bought a brand new car, paid cash for it. I was just thinking, I was having all the success, but I kept thinking about, do I really love this job? Is this a job that I could see myself doing for a while? And sometimes you do and you don't, but I just pondered that, and then it wasn't within a month that I just decided that, no, I need to make a shift. I don't think this is quite right. I like the world of finance. I don't mind selling financial products per se, but I'm young. I want to be able to try something different. And I was always keen to get out from under the safety and the comfort and try something new. So I went in one day to Mike, my boss, and Sam, the head boss, wearing my suit and everything. I said, hey guys, I'm going to give notice. And they just looked at me like I was the craziest kid on the planet. I said, you're killing it. Why would you leave? You can retire probably in 10 or 15 years if you keep at it. I said, no, I just don't think it's the right fit. I got a bunch of money in the bank, cars paid for, I'm good. And they go, what are you going to do? I go, I don't know. I'm going to pause from you guys, take some time off, and I'll find something new. So I did. I wrapped up my client load with them in a couple of weeks, and there was no office party saying goodbye. They just shook my hand, and I went out. And at that time, I was living in Mission Beach, and I took the summer off. And I kind of just worked out and took care of my health, and I really didn't even think about what my next job or next career was. And maybe 2 or 3 months passed by, and then I was talking to somebody on the boardwalk one day, and this girl was talking about her job, and she worked for a mortgage company, and how much she loved the job, and she loved helping people get into houses, and she loved working for her boss. And it was like, I'd never heard anybody talk about their job and use the word love, love, love so many times. I was super curious. I said, I want to meet your bosses. So she gave me their phone number, and I went out and met with these managers at a mortgage company. And at that same time, I thought, this is maybe a good time to go start looking for a job. So I went and met some headhunters and got my resume out there, and they started sending me out on interviews at the same time. And so I actually went into a whole new, 1 month season of going on interviews and looking at pharmaceutical sales, truck sales. Was another job I interviewed for. And then I had this mortgage company thing. And then after about 4 or 5, 6 weeks, I really was intrigued with this mortgage job. And as a loan officer, and they offered me a 6-month training and a territory and very little, like a little bit of a draw, like very little financial security, all commission after so many months. But they were going to train me, and they said, give it a go. And I actually turned down an offer with a pharmaceutical sales job. and I went with a mortgage company, and it was just kind of on a gut feel, and that's how I ended up getting launched into the mortgage industry, and that was, yeah, like well over 35 years ago.
So a couple of lessons there you demonstrate. First, you took time to listen to yourself, and in today's world, we don't take that time. We'll be on the smartphone and playing, scrolling through it or something, rather than taking the time to listen. And then you were brave enough to say, okay, enough of this, and but I don't know where I'm going. How did you have that strength? How did you know things would work out?
Well, I just knew. Like, I knew I could get a job, like any kind of a job. I didn't have a fear about getting a job, and I could always go back to the restaurant profession, the hotel profession, any kind of service jobs. And I could even go back into the insurance sales because now I had experience doing that. But I just thought, well, I'm going to take what I had learned, you know, like the dress for success thing, right? Like when I went out on those interviews, I put on my insurance salesman dress outfit, right? Guess what? I was the nicest dressed guy everywhere. Every job interview I went on, I was nicer dressed than all the interviewers. You know, they looked at me like, who's this successful kid coming in? And that gave me the confidence to answer the questions, to be myself, and then just to really weigh out, hey, is this a good job for me? Is this a good fit? You know, I could take the questions, you know, and I just could present myself. But I just knew that it would work out. Like the mortgage company thing, I wasn't 100% sure, but they led me to believe that I would just be crushing it, you know? And so that kind of fed my ego, and I said, yeah, I'll give it a go. And actually, I was a slow learner. My first year, I sucked wind pretty bad. I almost thought about quitting and going back out on the hunt. But I just stuck with it. That was that persistence thing. I said, well, I'll get this figured out. This is not that hard. I've just got to maybe adapt some new stuff. And, that curiosity is, I think, a really neat trait that we can work on and develop, is to be curious and try to learn new things, meet new people that do new things, and get, there's so much we can learn from other people, you know?
Can you remember something specific you learned from the 6 months of training for the mortgage company that you've applied the rest of your life?
Yeah, one of the things, you know, the dress for success thing was really, really good. Like when you go to the office and you dress respectfully, responsibly, you dress, you know, back then the dress codes for financial services were pretty tight. People wore suits, people wore ties, people, you know, combed their hair, they brushed their teeth, you know, the basic stuff, right? But they were tight on those things. In the mortgage space, it was very workflow. Like if you look at, like, almost all jobs are workflows. If you were to flow out what gets done after this, they taught me the power of a workflow, of memorizing a workflow. They taught me the power like in that sales process, it's just really gathering a bunch of documents. And there was about 13 documents that we needed to gather. So I learned what those 13 documents looked like, smelled like, felt like. And I made sure I could get them and check off my list. And that kind of studying of what you do has been really, really helpful for all my life. Studying the process, learning the process, mapping it out as necessary, memorizing it.
And that is so true across many fields in medicine, psychology, same story. We're talking
exactly.
With Steve Hogard, wonderful man who really should write his life story. And this is CenterPoint. With Dr. Ron Unber.
Make-A-Wish has been granting life-changing wishes for children and families for over 40 years. A wish is something that gives children the opportunity to look outside their illness and restore a sense of childhood back to the child. With the help of donors and more than 43,000 worldwide volunteers, Make-A-Wish has collectively granted more than 520,000 wishes worldwide. Dr. Anbar has referred many patients to Make-A-Wish. To make a donation, go to worldwish.org. That's worldwish.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Dr. Ron Ambar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Coming attraction, life guide for teens harnessing your inner power to be healthy, happy, and confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Ambar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Centerpoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Ambar, special guest Steve Hogard, who has told us about how he got into finance and insurance sales and the mortgage industry. And so you're working for the process. Why did you even leave the mortgage broker or company?
I think I was at the mortgage company, I want to say 3 years, maybe 4 years. And during that time, the company was bought out by another company. There was a management change, and you know, you had change come into the branch that I was working at. And our industry had a couple of facets or a couple of different parts to it. And the mortgage company covered one side of the mortgage lending aspect, and then there were savings and loan banks that handled another side. And I was really curious of what the other side did. So I decided to leave the mortgage company and that one type of lending and go work for a savings and loan company, a bank, and be an in-house bank loan officer that did loan lending, but a little bit different way. We portfolio lended back then, and I wanted to learn, you know, everything there was about that part of the industry. And I still was going to go back to my same territory and go sell and do loans, but just a certain different type of loans and maybe have. And just I really wanted to put a little bit of time into that side of the business. So I ended up going to a bank for a couple of years and learning everything about that side of the industry, which built my kind of my whole professional resume inside, you know, of all aspects of consumer mortgage finance. And it was really, really good. And then when I came to kind of a period of time at the savings and loan when I realized I did not want to be a manager and climb up the corporate ladder, which is kind of the natural path. I had to look at, okay, well, what do I do next in my career? How do I modify that? And that's when I chose to leave the bank and go independent and open up my own small mortgage brokerage or my little boutique business and become, you know, self-employed. And I did all that within, I think, my first five and a half years in the industry.
Now, I've been a client of your boutique industry, your company, as you know, and can you share some of the tips you use to gain clients and retain them? I think you have a pretty good model, Steve.
Well, you know, something that I you know, because technology had started improving and increasing. And, you know, sometimes you'll work in organizations where the organizational structure is, it moves slow. Let's say it moves like a tortoise. And yet you're maybe high five, you're more twitchy and faster like a rabbit. And when you run your own organization, I think you can swipe and adapt and implement new things. And so really, I kind of took the best of everything that I learned from both the mortgage company and the big giant savings and loan. But then I honed it down into a very simple workflow. And, you know, I mean, I had a mission statement that I developed. This is, you know, I think when I went out on my own in the early 90s. And it was as simple as this, that when people want to go buy a house and get financing and be successful at it, they just, and I drew a chart, and I just said they really want to go from A to B in the least amount of time with the least amount of hassles. And when they get to B, they want to be happy and satisfied that it was a great experience. They want to feel good about it. And so I designed the workflow for my customers so that we could literally go from A to B in the least amount of time with the least amount of hassles. And I framed it up. It's about 30 days, a 30-day workflow. And I made sure that when they got to the end, everybody felt amazing about the experience. Now, that's it wasn't like a silicon chip, zero fail. You know, I mean, we definitely had some, you know, you have some problems, some hurdles, some people that won't be happy at the end. But we created a workflow that created all the things to allow that to happen naturally. And, you know, the simple thing was like all customers, when they've made an inquiry to us, would get responded to usually within 6 hours, the same day. Nobody had to wait for a call back. I mean, it sounds like revolutionary, but that's just courtesy. A list of documents. In the first two phone calls, I would give the customer that 13 list of documents that I need, and I would tell them, hey, I need these list of documents, and I'll need you to kind of pull them out or get them together. This is before the digital age. And then I'll make arrangements to come and pick them up for you, and you don't even have to worry about a copy machine. I'll take care of it. I'll copy them, scan them, do whatever, and I'll get them returned to you. All you have to do is put them together in a little stack. And I made it easy. Like, how could I make their lives easy? And I worked that into the workflow. And I also had a container. Everybody went into a container. So we had their name, their phone number, their address, their social security number, their birthday, you know. And we made sure we double-checked all the accuracy of that stuff up front. And we got everything up front we needed. And then the mortgage process would just go through its process, and everything would be verified and triple verified and sometimes quadruple verified. But we eliminated the surprises. So there were never any surprises more than halfway through or three-quarters of the way through. Nobody got surprised. And if there ever was a surprise, I was taught just to jump right in the middle of it and say, hey, here's the surprise, and here's how we're going to fix it. And literally over these decades, that's a wheel, right, with spokes. And I've just refined it. We've tuned it. We've refined it. We've added technology. We've made it digital. You know, we've made it faceless now, but I still have that. It's that same workflow. I get people from A to B in the least amount of time with the least amount of hassles, and they feel really, really good about it when they're done. And then I stay in touch with them. You know, I created a workflow for afterwards, so I just don't say thank you and say goodbye. I say thank you. Hey, let's stay friends, and let's check in every year and see how you're doing. And if you have any questions on anything, I come with it. Give me a call. Give me or my team a call. We'll help you out. And it's worked really, really well.
What percentage of your customers send you more business or come back to refinance the loans?
I think our recapture, re-pull-through rate is probably north of 60%, 70%. So, yeah, it's pretty high. Yeah, I want to say our industry standard struggles to get 15 or 20% repeat, and we're more than triple that. But I realized, like, I wanted it to be 100%, right? I thought if I did a great job and everybody loved me and they got a great deal, that everybody would want to come back and send all their friends and family and everybody. But then I just realized, like, human nature, that not all people are wired that way, you know? my job is to stay in touch and be available. And then I kind of, and this is something I've still learned and relearned and reminded myself and my team over the last 10 years, our job is to be there, be available, be of service, to be of help when the call comes. You know, it's kind of be top of mind, right? And that's all we have to do. And then I don't take the rest of it personal, right? I let it go however it goes. And it's going to work out just the way it's supposed to. And I trust that. I just trust the process. I trust how we do it. And the percentages will work out. And they usually do.
That's another important life lesson I want to underscore is it's going to work out the way it's supposed to. You keep that in mind. You can handle setbacks.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're talking to Steve Hogard. We'll be right back after these messages. This is CenterPoint with Dr. Ron Unbar.
More than 30,000 children and adults of every race and ethnic group in the U.S. have cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a disease causing long-lasting lung infections, limiting the ability to breathe over time. Dr. Anbar participated in research that helped advance survival of cystic fibrosis patients by more than 20 years. He encourages you to donate to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation to help find a cure. It's easy to donate. Go to cff.org. That's cff.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com. Or visit dranbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Anbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At CenterPoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to CenterPoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. We're speaking with Steve Hogard, who has shared with us so many of the life lessons he's learned as a mortgage broker. In the break, we talked about, right after this recording of the show, he has to go off to his ukulele lesson, which shows you that he's keeping a well-balanced life. I love it. So tell me a little bit about the psychology of borrowers. Do you ever have to hold hands of them? Like, do you have people who start borrowing, they have cold feet? How do you work through that?
Well, I mean, the psychology of people is an interesting thing. And I think what I've learned over time, and I think since I've been in service work, serving people most of my life, since eighth grade, I think, is my first service job, you know, that you realize that people want something and that some people may have objections to getting what they want, but that they come with all different kind of psychology. I just know that I just approach, I kind of approach the mortgage business and the psychology of helping people with loans as a trusted advisor. Like, I'm a trusted person that they can come and sit with and to help give them advice or guide them in that process. And I realize what my role is to do that. And I've done it enough now that I approach everybody with almost like a servant's heart. Like, I want to serve them and help them get to the thing. And because I've brainwashed myself to realize, like, it is a numbers game, right? Not 100 out of 100 people that meet me to go do a loan aren't going to do a loan with me. It just doesn't happen. The numbers are quite high, but there's a percentage that meet me, I do my thing, and then they decide to go somewhere else. And that's okay. And I just trust my process, and I trust the serving side. And I think when people sense that you're out to help them and serve them, they soften, and they kind of work through a lot of their own issues themselves, and they ask, you know, they'll ask or deliver good information to you. I ask a lot of questions, you know. I ask people, like, you know, besides, you know, in a perfect world, how would you like to see this process go? And then I just shut up and let them say, and they'll tell me what their fears are. They'll tell me what they heard their friends went through. They'll tell me that they don't want to have this happen to them. And then I get a chance to come back and say, well, you know what? We have a process to go from A to B in about 30 days. And we'll get everything up front, and we'll let you know in a couple of weeks that you're good to go. And then you can kind of rest easy. And then here's the financial numbers. We do a spreadsheet. It's state-of-the-art, and you can discuss the numbers with me. You can send a link to your friends, your coworkers, your accountants, your dad, your mother, whoever. And I'm available here to go over anything, and I'm here to help. And then I just kind of let it be. And I think I use the law of attraction to bring people in versus the law of promotion versus promoting. I was probably a promoter in the first 15 years, and I promoted really well and really hard. And then I realized that I didn't have to promote so hard because I already had a system that was bulletproof. You know, the proof was already in the pudding. I kind of need to get out of my own way, right, and just open up the doors and let more people in the life raft. And then just be helpful and let it shake out. And it's really made this part of my career super fun because I don't take it personally. And I get a chance to help people, and people are really, really, really grateful. You know, when you go through the process and you make it so easy and so smooth and so wonderful, and then, you know, that just feeds itself, right? And then, you know, and then the people that need to get referred, and you know, I just make myself available, right? Make sure that I'm there. I'm there to answer the call. I'm there to return the email or the voicemail or the text.
So you've shared such great life lessons along the way of this interview. I'm wondering if you have two or three favorite tips that are listing out and should put into their own lives. What have you learned? What would you tell them are the keys to successful life?
Oh, boy, get up every day and thank your higher power, your God or your universe for waking up and being on the wake-up list. I mean, first thing, like gratitude. And I'm not, like, trying to beat a drum about gratitude, but, like, if you just wake up and say, wow, thank you, God, I'm awake today. This is awesome. You know, I get another chance. Because every day is a do-over, right? I think that's so, so important. And if you're not feeling great about yourself or you're not feeling great about your stage in life, acknowledge it and then maybe stand in front of the mirror and look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that you love yourself, that you like yourself, or that you're wonderful, that things are going to work out. And remind yourself of that, because sometimes, you know, we have others around us, if we have allowed people in our lives that will do that for us. I got news for you. At the end of the day, baby, it's just you and yourself. And you're going to be your biggest motivator, your biggest inspiration, you know, between you and your faith or your walk or your practices. And I think the psychology of telling yourself that you're doing well, that everything's going to work out all right, that you love yourself, you love your path, you love the uncertainty, you love the certainty, you know, and affirming yourself in a positive way, just two or three positive affirmations to yourself every day, I think will give you a tremendous amount of runway to take your jet off and to land your jet.
Great tips. So if somebody's listening to you today and saying, hey, I'd really like to work with this guy, how do they get a hold of you?
You can just Google me, Steve Hogard, Hogard Loans, or Bayshore Home Loans. But if you just Google Steve Hogard Loans, I'm going to pop up on the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages of Google. Go to my Google page. Go to my website. You can just click my phone number's there. You can click a message to me. You can go read the Google reviews, you know, just to get inspiration of what other customers have thought, what the experience is like. Social proof, I think they call that now. And it's super great. Yeah.
And Hogard,
and if somebody's curious about this industry, they can give me a call too, and I'd be happy to chat.
So Hogard is spelled H-O-U-G-A-R-D.
Correct. For the Steve Hogard.
And I will attest that you do a great job. I think you're very genuine, and I think that's part of your success, because I suspect your clients know that you're genuine and have the best interest at heart, and that's part of the reason they keep in touch.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a joy speaking with you today.
It's been great. So, again, I said it twice before. I'm going to say it again. You have so much to share with people, and I appreciate your sharing a lot of your wisdom and knowledge with us. I encourage you to maybe even write a short book and share with others.
Thank you so much, Rand. It's just been, you're such a great encourager. I appreciate it.
I very much appreciate you. A wish for everyone an excellent week. Use Steve's tips. Give yourself affirmations. You are should be your best supporter. And go seize the world. And everyone have a wonderful week. This is CenterPoint with Dr. Ron Unbar. Thank you.